Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
1 minute to go! T-Bird with five and Callis with five. Donnie just behind with four. Seth, not the basketball analyst, Davis has three.
T-Bird is looking down at Callis and observing him.
Callis
where he's at.
With two massive bites from Callis. My word! T-Bird asking T-Bird for the clock.
T-Bird drops number five down. He's on his six.
Five. Oh, T-Bird the first to see. He's the Gouger of Georgia Hawks. T-Bird.
Callis forced to dig deep. T-Bird must need to prepare another dog. He needs to prep a dog.
Uh-oh, I thought Callis Seth might throw up.
Callis shaking his head no.
Seth Davis.
Nine.
Eight. Seven.
Here they come. Seven. Six for
he still
T-Bird.
Has a bite left.
Callis
get
Callis
there.
Callis hit a wall. Three. It's over.
What
win.
He just lost his lunch.
Callis has thrown up.
Yeah, history was made. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. First annual hot dog eating contest. It was everywhere. 93.7thefan.com on our YouTube page. Video live there. Instagram live. And that's how it sounded on our station at around 3:15 today with Josh Rountree, who applied for the Steelers play-by-play job. Did not end up getting that opportunity. If only they had heard that call before moving on to other applicants. I don't think Rob King would be considered a favorite for that gig.
Ton of drama, and Josh captured the spirit of the thing.
Maybe they'll change their mind. I know Art's son Dan will listen to the show. I think he might hear that and call up their radio partners and say, hey, have so we
maybe,
really done our due diligence on Josh
maybe
Rountree?
Maybe circle back around to this Rountree character. Josh was overcome with emotion at the start, but like any composed professional, he got himself together and delivered a boffo call.
Jack Hillgrove was a big part of this as the official timekeeper. You heard him screaming and counting down the seconds there and keeping track of hot dogs. His grandfather, Bill, I mean, obviously everyone knows him for all his great play-by-play work with Pitt and the Steelers. Mm-hmm. He got to start playing jazz records. So, you know, you don't, not everyone needs to have this cookie cutter background. I thought Josh showed his versatility as a sportscaster and broadcaster today. You know what I think would appreciate with the job that Josh did more than anybody else? Lanny Fritteri.
That's a good call.
Because Lanny is someone, every assignment, whether it's the Pony League World Series or the actual World Series, he treats it like it's the biggest broadcast of all time. When Rountree sat down between us, he had notes. He had made a play-by-play board.
Correct. He had nicknames. He had nicknames for people. He had, I think, odds. He had stuff in bold. Like, he had his entire sheet was, like, well-indexed and organized to make for easy reference during this. He got, you know what he did? He got caught up in the emotion and the fun of the event, but he never let that really affect or take over his call. He was always extremely focused on the task at hand.
Do you think we walked over his call too much? Do we give it enough air? Do we give it enough room to breathe?
I think in the first minute or two, we needed to let him establish the scene more, but okay. It's only a 10-minute contest, and I think you and I rose to the occasion as the minutes grew small, really. Because I feel like I was the first person in there to notice that T-Bird had suddenly taken quiet command of the entire thing. We all sort of saw Callis flagging at the same time, but I noticed T-Bird
was huffing
looking
and
over
puffing,
there.
And he had a dejected look on his face.
Yes,
like,
you saw the body language was terrible too.
I thought I was large and in charge, and I don't have it today. It's not my day. I thought this was a shoo-in. I thought you watched him eat four hot dogs last week to prepare for this.
It took him 3.5 minutes.
What?
Yep. He ate 4 hot dogs in 3.5 minutes.
And after that display, you were thinking to yourself, there's no way he loses.
Yeah, but he got done in because they were quarter-pound dogs.
Well, here was Callis after his defeat. Callis, you were the favorite.
Hello.
Hello. Your signature.
Not your usual dapper. Hello.
Oh, man.
Because you're hurting right now, aren't you?
I didn't throw up, but I did spit out the hot dog I had in my mouth. That's what that was. Yeah, I thought, would it be better to win $500 on a trophy or, throw up on social media? So I chose to just settle down. And
you chose dignity over money.
Yeah.
Now you made a good point after he made those comments. The fact that there were so many women who were watching in person.
Mm-hmm. Your wife.
Yes, Donnie's girlfriend.
Tamira.
So many producers and reporters on the AM side, our promotion staff, Amanda Silay King, who was a few months pregnant.
She's giving birth next month, I think, Chalooch.
Okay, 8 months pregnant. There you go.
He didn't, and she's told us after the fact, Amanda, she hasn't thrown up this whole pregnancy. She said watching Callis go was as close as she's gotten.
Well, I was worried about that because I'm one of those guys that if someone throws up around me and I see it and smell it, then it makes me throw up. And when I saw him hunch over...
Yeah, he had a look of resignation on his face.
No, but I'm saying when it was over, you heard me say he's puking because he turned his back to us and he bent over. And I thought he was blowing chunks. I thought he was yakking at that point all over the place.
Understandable why you would think that. Yeah, he just, spitting it out. T-Bird just was a testament to slow and steady wins the race. And then just seeing him so in command that he was like calmly looking over. He wasn't chewing too fast. You heard me on that clip. I said, he's got to make another hot dog. No, he did not. He knew that Callis
hit
a
brick wall.
He knew Callis was drawn dead. He knew he was dead in the water. And he basically cruised across the finish line to victory. He was a guy catches a long bomb in the NFL and the guy chasing him falls down and he knows anyone, the next nearest defender's 30 yards away. He was high stepping into the end
zone. I think it's good for the future of the event that T-Bird won.
Because now Callis has to chase.
Yeah, and he has to come back and try to get revenge next year. If Callis wins this thing and blows everybody out of the water, then it's like the real hot dog eating contest with Joey Chestnut there. Everybody's playing for second place. All it becomes every year is how many hot dogs does Chestnut eat? It's not really, it's Chestnut versus the hot dogs. It's man versus food. It's man, not man
it's
versus
really,
man.
It's really Chestnut versus himself.
Exactly. It's Chestnut versus Chestnut. It's not Chestnut versus Badlands Booker and everybody else who's
now,
there.
Now we've got a real race. And you know who else becomes, I think, a motivated party here? Donnie. Well, hold on. Will Donnie, did he lose his, he be a full-time on-air personality by then next year?
Yeah,
he's
might
on
be
that
disqualified.
Trajectory.
I should have asked Craig that beforehand.
Tried to get a sense of the thing?
Well, because maybe that would have been a motivating factor for Donnie too. Like, hey,
this is my only
at
shot.
At this point next year, you're going to be the night host. You're going to be the evening host, and you're going to lose your chance.
Should
at
he,
participating
if that happens,
this,
so should
when,
he be grandfathered into it one more time?
I don't think so. No, because one of the great things about this event is all these unsung heroes at the station who you hear chime in on these shows who are behind the scenes. It's a labor of love for them. They're grinding. They're young and in the business. This is
looking for their shot.
Yes. They're in their 20s, so this is about learning in the business, not earning yet. They're going to get there eventually because most of them are very talented and they're go-getters. And there's the $500 carrot that's dangled in front of them.
And T-Bird drove that home. He said, I'm 22. I got to pay rent.
Yeah, that's some of his post-game comments.
T-Bird, we're wondering here, did you have any performance-enhancing substances?
There was a marijuana discussion with you.
Yeah.
Did you go to that well?
No, I was kidding. But what I really did was a little bit of chia seeds, a couple of little candy bars for some sugar, and I just drank a ton of water.
Chia seeds. Now, that'll clean you out.
I don't even know what those are.
Chia seeds will clean you out.
I read it online, man.
I read it. Well, you sound like
you
might have been
Googled
taking some indica
before
here.
An eating contest.
I read it online, man.
I was on Reddit.
You're not even sweating, by the way, right now. This is, and you know what? Callis over there looks very bitterly disappointed in himself.
Oh, shit.
He's sick. If you did not hear that on mic, he's probably sick, folks.
He's very sick. T-Bird, what?
I feel great.
About 90
he
seconds.
He feels great.
Well, Pony, this is what had me changing my tune. I thought it was Callis's race about 8 minutes in. 90 seconds to go, I noticed Callis kind of trying to put a good face on it. T-Bird starting to look very calmly over at him as they were tied and just calmly down the rest of the dog. He had a hot dog finished and could have gone to six with about 35 seconds
and
left.
And I thought he was at a disadvantage because he wasn't the bitch seat, too. Which
the
is
middle weird. Seat. The middle yeah, seat. Middle seat of the car.
Yeah.
No. He was able to look down. He was able to look down at Callis, and he did not even think that he needed to start a sixth hot dog.
Right.
Or to start a seventh.
He didn't think
Callis
was going to get there.
A seventh hot dog. He was watching Callis struggle, and in a very confident maneuver, basically walked across the finish line.
And it looked like you were using the crowd too. You were imploring the crowd.
Oh, a lot of crowd.
You were playing to the crowd. Yeah.
I got to thank all my fans out here.
Yes.
It really helped me win.
Yes, T-Bird's Rowdy Rooter.
T-Bird, is this your first competitive eating contest?
First time ever. Well, actually, in a contest, yeah. The only other time I've tried to, like, competitively eat something was at this this barbecue restaurant in Deep Creek, and they had a whole plate of food, and if you could finish it in, like, under an hour or something.
Mm-hmm. You got it paid
got
for.
It for. Free.
Did you?
No, not even close. The food was terrible, so.
Wow.
I forgot about that line.
I like that.
He sounds like a Spicoli type. Doesn't he sound like your classic when
said,
stoner?
When he said, I was on Reddit, man, I was like,
yeah,
who
dude,
is this guy?
I was looking up chia seeds beforehand.
I literally just saw some Instagram, like one of those, you know, healthy lifestyle influencers where most of it's natural cures. Chia water will help, like,
is chia
reduce
seed
inflammation.
Okay, so my ignorance on this. Is chia seed the seed that they you grow and it like the chia pet?
Come on, man.
Come no? On.
No. Chia seeds are like, if you go and get a like one of those crazy smoothie bowls or something at like a really healthy
like those acai
shop,
or whatever they're
an
called.
An acai bowl, exactly. You know chia, you know acai, but you don't know the difference between chia seed and chia pet. Chia seeds will be sprinkled on top of one of those acai style bowls because that's a little bit of a laxative effect, clean you out, like I said.
Jack Hillgrove sprinted in here. You
he's nodding,
new
nodding vigorously about
yeah, well,
chia
no, first
seeds.
I wanted to thank you guys for, I kind of invited myself along by texting you, but I appreciate you guys including me on it. It was a blast, but I do
well,
have.
Well, you added to the festivities.
You did do a great job.
It was more organized, and it was easier to keep up with.
Because of you.
A great spotter can make a play-by-play voice sound a lot better, and because you were so good about giving us time and score. Malsy.
That was all it is. That's,
huge in play-by-play.
Well, that's a Lanny 101 right there.
Well, I think that's 1 and 1A. You want time and you want score.
And you were able to give us time and score by flipping the numbers for each person and giving us the time check every
part of
minute.
Lanny's class, class that he has, he does like the pyramid, and the base of the pyramid for the play-by-play is time and score.
Where on the pyramid does it say, don't call everything unbelievable?
That's
Every class.
Yeah.
Don't
and they always say, you know, play by play, you don't learn it in a classroom, you learn by doing it. And that's very true. Like, you get better by doing it. But to people that say, oh, you don't learn play by play in a classroom, take one of Lanny's classes because I've learned a lot. But anyway, to incentivize next year's contest, cash prize, the golden jug, and maybe a 2-hour air shift on a weekend to a producer. You talked about up and coming, wanting to make their name, wanting to make their mark.
Imagine T-Bird's 2 hours.
Anyway, man, so
I would tune into that.
Le'Veon Bell, he was onto something. LeGarrette Blount going to join us at 3 o'clock.
I'm going to do a one-on-one, one-man reenactment of Doc Ellis's no-hitter. Hey, man.
He threw a no-hitter on LSD. I'm going to try to do a show on one, and it starts now.
T-Bird.
What's the first music bed? Something Hendrix?
Oh, no, it's Dazed
hey,
and Confused.
Joe.
No, and then he's that first guest Birdman in the NBA, Chris Anderson.
That's not a bad idea, Jack.
I like that, Jack. That's a two, especially this time of year when we would have it. Summer's the kind of the dog days of summer. Everything's in kind of a lull. I like that idea. I had Don tweet me. Message me, buddy.
Don
of mine.
Don football?
Or no,
this just is a random
Don. Different Don. Very loyal listener. Six is an embarrassing number to win a hot dog contest. I wrote back, quarter pound dogs, twice the meat of a normal dog. He wrote back to that. I mean, Callis has twice the meat of a normal person.
Yeah, there is so. One of my big problems with the reaction to what we watched at 3 o'clock is that so many people on the outside they're throwing. what is it, throwing stones from glass houses?
Oh, yeah.
If you will. There's so much of, I could have done better, these guys suck,
which okay, is I have an, easy I have to say idea. From the peanut gallery.
I have another idea. They won't be eligible for the air shift. Why don't we have one listener join these producers if they think they can do such a good job? A contest to get in.
So they have to qualify?
Yeah, but it could be just, like, basically, you think you can do this as an eater, and you also probably think, like, oh, I could do great on the air. You got 1 minute to convince us as to why you should be in the one listener who gets in next year.
I'm not opposed to that.
Yeah, that could be something you guys, like,
that's what I mean.
Take callers for.
That's right. Or pick we could, one. Like, do yeah. one on-location show. Show up and see what you got.
Doesn't it tell you everything you know about this, that Zeiss
was into it?
Who I think would want to poo-poo these guys and rip these guys and look down on them, went outside, looked at the hot dogs,
and was
and
shook.
Said,
he was shook.
The numbers got to change. No one's getting to double digits. I That's Paul being thing. An honest broker about things.
I said the same thing. Callis was eating convenience or gas station hot dogs to try out on Friday and warm up for this, and he went through four of them, Jack, in 3.5 minutes. You know those gas station hot dogs or those convenience store hot dogs.
Some of them are less than half of the size of
correct.
What they dealt with today.
Would you say this? Do we want Chef Homer next year if he can do it? Because I think he could.
Yes.
To go regular size hot dogs.
I don't know. You know what I like about
we
this
like
one?
That this is our unique thing.
It's like the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Right. The you USGA know? Sets up this hot dog eating
right.
contest
Grow
to be
out
tough.
That fescue, baby.
We're like the Oakmont of hot dog eating contests.
And you know what? T-Bird hit fairways and greens and made a
he
lot
was,
of pars.
He was Johnny Miller.
That's right. He made a lot of pars out there today, and he waited for everyone else to screw
Actually,
up.
Actually, he's more like Angel Cabrera, where he's just smoking in between
cigs.
Shots.
Hand-rolled cigs.
Dom, do you think you should be disqualified? Like, do you think it should be like relegation? He should be kicked out for only eating one as the low man?
Again, I'm probably on an island here. I love Dom's strategy of just, I'm going to put on sunglasses, act really cool, and eat one hot dog more slowly than a normal person would.
I was sick. I can't help that. You're going to disqualify
you
me?
You should have stayed home.
That's a storyline going
he had to
into
work.
Next year, too.
He had to work.
It is a storyline going into next year.
Can
Dom do better than something that a five-year-old would have been able to
so
do?
So, Jack, you're not old enough. How old are you?
26.
Okay, so you're born in 98 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you wouldn't know this because this really stopped around then. We could have Dom's story. You know how Costas used to do the voiceovers or before the
for the
AFC,
NBA?
Yeah, for the NBA Finals, he'd have a big voiceover written out and scripted.
Oh, those scene setters were tremendous.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the term. They do scene setters for the NBA Finals. They do scene setters for like the AFC and NFC title games. How about a scene setter for next year for Dom? I'll even write the damn thing up and we can get somebody to deliver it in a fancy voice like Roundtree.
I like that idea.
What if we got your grandfather?
He'll do it. Absolutely.
I mean, do you think your grandfather would actually do the play-by-play?
I think Josh did a phenomenal job.
Yeah,
should be
yeah.
invited
but I think,
back.
It, but I think it would give it such gravitas if just your grandfather participated but kept let Josh do his thing. He just did the voiceover.
No, he 100% would
so
do
we
it.
So we script one for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he's got an in-home microphone set up.
God.
He's got the foam on the walls in the
is.
Living room. You send him a script and he'll cut it in one
well,
take
that,
and email
you know
it back
what?
You.
I'm happy that he's a good sport about it because I do feel like we got big time by Jimerson. We didn't even get a response for this.
Yeah,
I don't know if he was in
it
for the money or he felt like a hot dog eating contest was beneath him. My God, Mary Hours originally said, I can't come and do it in person because I'm filling in for Petlin today, but I'd love to be a part of it. She loves the show. She loves being a part of the show's culture. Then I find out she's like, well, I can do it over the Zoom setup that you guys have. About an hour before it was time for her to sing a glorious national anthem, she texted me and said, wait, how close to Gateway Center are you guys? I might just drive up and do it there. I mean, she was all in on this. Actually, we had...
She brought Roundtree to tears.
She did.
With her anthem.
We actually got some emails that were forwarded to Craig and Amanda King last second yesterday.
Trying to get in on it.
Credentials with I performed here and there, but once Mary said she could do it, I
was
not going to change that on her.
She sang beautifully. The whole thing came, like, you want to, doesn't Big Cat sing the anthem for those tough, those whatever events they
rough
do,
and
rough and
rowdy?
And rowdy?
Yeah, I think
and
Jersey butchers, Jerry might have done one recently.
They butcher it.
Yeah, they do.
Now, I don't love the
Jersey
song
Jersey Jerry's
compared
mom
to,
on the open market, yeah. Jack, if you're interested.
No, thanks. I don't love the Star Spangled Banner compared to O Canada as a song, but you can't go out there and butcher it.
Well, we didn't have to
event.
Do O Canada because
Nelson,
Nelly pulled out
with
COVID.
There's another story. Did we miss the surprise winner because Nelly was laid up with COVID?
He would not have been a surprise winner to the extent that T-Bird was, though. T-Bird was legitimately out of nowhere.
T-Bird might have the lowest BMI of anybody. Well, no, Dom was sitting there. Dom could get blown over by a stiff breeze.
What is the equivalent in sports of T-Bird winning the hot dog contest?
Jets over Colts in Super Bowl III was a good one.
But he was not, here, like, no, because the more I thought about that, that would have been like if Austin won.
Okay, well, I have it. It's a European sport. You're going to hate it. Remember when Leicester City as a plus 5,000 shot won the Premier League?
Again, I think that's too big of a... I mean, this was an upset.
What about Jeremy Lin resurging with the New York Knicks?
No, no.
How about Rocco Mediate in the U.S. Open?
He didn't win. He lost the playoff.
Ah, that's true.
It's not so much... Here's the thing about...
Give me a random team.
That's what it is.
How about the New Orleans Saints winning the 09 Super Bowl?
They weren't as random because they had Breeze, but it's more like... Not that it was a massive upset. He was only 10-1. It's more of somebody coming completely out of nowhere.
Like no one paid attention to them. No one thought
of the team whatsoever. It's kind of like the Rams when they won their first Super Bowl. When Trent Green got hurt and Warner had to
go in. Francis We Met winning the 1919 U.S. Open.
How about this? Manessen's own Michael Moore just ran, like, won the heavyweight title.
Sure.
No one really talked about him as like the best heavyweight boxer in the world. Then for a while he was.
It's been an eventful day, and that's going to continue tonight. With Pirates and Cardinals on the Fan, Pittsburgh trying to even up this series against the Cards.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's 1-3 against them on the season. You know it's a big day and a big game when someone travels from all the way around the world to attend that game. I am a little bit disappointed that Jeff chose Pirates Cardinals instead of our hot dog eating contest. You come back from New Zealand, I would think he had the first ever fan hot dog eating contest circled as the must-see event of July 3rd, 2024, but I'll get over it, Jeff. I won't take it personally forever.
You know, the timing didn't work out with Pirates locker room availability and the hot dog eating contest, but I will tell you.
Why not put it on in there?
That would have been a better idea than watching reruns of MLB Network.
Can you imagine somebody just casting their phone to that TV and there's just Harry Callis for
all
to see?
They can't bet on it because Tuca Pita Marcano, but continue, Jeff.
So I will tell you that it was such a topic of conversation that Hannah was going around talking to players for the Pirates pregame about hot dog eating contests.
That's good reporting
by
Hannah.
That's how much it's on the brain. In fact, she may have asked a certain first baseman to comment, and he said, no, they would make fun of me if I gave any answer to this question.
he's a pretty sharp operator. He's pretty sharp. Although he's hitting so well the last month, I think we'd have given him a pass, Jeff.
That's true, and if any of the producers want, it is hot dog night at the ballpark. If they didn't have their fill, they'd come here and get a dog for a buck.
Well, Jeff, I don't know if you've seen the video, but Callis ran out of steam. He was the heavy favorite, and he got off to a blistering start, and he just hit a wall, and we watched T-Bird, our onside engineer, come out of nowhere and win. He beat Callis. He beat Donnie Football.
Easily the least talked about contestant in this whole thing.
And
he
is now the undisputed hot dog champion among the producing staff.
Yeah, it's always the ones that you don't think. I mean, there was a lot of talk about Callis leading up to this, and, you know, it ended up being... By the way, I did find out through in New Zealand and Australia, a hot dog is like a corn dog, but it's sausage instead of, like, the hot dog meat. So So I ordered one there. We were at an Aussie Rules football game, and I get this, like, corn dog that was sausage. And that would have been a lot tougher to even get six down there.
How long was the flight?
Just a mere 14 hours from the U.S.
Were you in first class?
Oh.
Sure. Yeah, sure. No, I was back steering the ship. It was pretty awesome.
Did you raw dog it?
Are you aware of what we're even talking about when we say that?
That means you're now flying and you don't do any in-flight entertainment. You just stare off into abyss.
No.
It's a new trend, though, Jeff. Guys are talking about their longest raw dog session, and it's like some guy says, I went 11 hours, and they post like the flight that they just took, where they just stare straight ahead, no water, just they look at the in-flight screen, and that's it.
Why would that be a thing when you have that opportunity available to you?
Yeah.
So I like saying I'm not going to sleep on that flight when you have the potential to do so.
I guess it's an internet thing.
I don't get that.
They say that it sharpens their mental focus and builds their mental strength.
Wow. All right.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, what was the highlight of your trip to New Zealand?
I'm telling you what, the Aussie Rules football game, the final score was 99-98. It was actually pretty entertaining. It was kind of cool to sit back and watch the sport. And just, I have no dog in the game, although, you know, maybe our group did bet on one side that, you know, had the 98, so that didn't work out so well.
And they were yeah. What? I was going to say, what was the over-under in that game? 197.5?
It actually was, may have been 184.5, so it cleared that.
Did you understand what you were watching? Like, did you pick up the rules of the game pretty quickly and have a sense of what was coming next in that game?
You could pick up on it fairly quickly. I mean, there are little nuances that people were booing about something, and you're like, you had to think for a minute or kind of watch a little bit more game before you understood. But, man, those guys, there's no padding. And while they do tackle, it's not like our football in that regard. I mean, there's some hitting in that game. It was pretty entertaining, actually.
Jeff, the question that people want answered as far as the Pirates go, they want to know if it's true that if not for Sawinski's big night on Monday, he would have been sent down to AAA and they would have activated They would have activated Palacios and he would have replaced him on the roster. Is that true that Sawinski saved his job with the way he played last night?
So none of us could get that confirmed, but it does appear to be that way. You know, guys are pretty tight-lipped about that for Jack's sake, but you can understand why. I mean, just look at the numbers, and even after his big night, you'd wonder, maybe that would have been a, you know, you're just going to keep him here for one big night, and is that buy him 10 more games where 9 of them he could struggle? Like, it's a conundrum with him, and maybe because Telez had a big June, now every one of these guys are going to get really long opportunities to prove they can do it. Maybe Sawinski will have a big month in July, but it does appear to be the way, although I will say none of us could get that 100% confirmed.
Jeff, we'll talk again next week. Congrats. Get adjusted to Pittsburgh time again. That'll be fun.
Yes. I'm doing the morning show tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, man. Yeah. See you, Jeff.
See you, boys.
Breaking news. Vladimir Tarasenko. The Penguins were allegedly very interested in signing him.
Mm-hmm.
The rumblings there were, hey, he just built a house in Florida. He doesn't want to leave Florida because of taxes and whatnot. Well, he found a deal that forced him to leave. 2 years, $9 million from Detroit. He is headed to the Red Wings, a team right now with better Stanley Cup odds than the Penguins.
20-goal guy, if he's right. Maybe 25 at this point in his career.
And someone that they probably wanted to put with Malkin?
Oh, no, yeah, you're right, Malkin, for the Russian connection.
The Russian connection, the Fedotenko Malkin 2.0. So that's not happening.
The Penguins are now, you said it, they were like, they reminded you of the Pirates. There are a lot more similarities.
Bridgier.
But didn't you always hear that the Pirates were in on somebody? More at the trade deadline. Hey, they were in on them.
They wanted them, but it just got out of control.
Didn't get them, though.
Dan Kingurski can confirm the Penguins had interest in Tarasenko, but the number was just too high. They came in second place.
Maybe not. Maybe somebody else had it was even closer.
But that's going back to the Pirates thing, who they were right there. They were the second place.
Just that. Just missed it.
All right, Pirates and Cardinals coming your way in about an hour and 10 minutes here on The Fan. It's a little late for it, so I'm not going to rant now about how much last night pissed me off with them.
Well, you've got 10 minutes to go here.
So I'm going to...
Do a mini rant.
No, I'm just going to move it forward and burn the tape on that game and move on to this one. There was a discussion apparently on the midday show about what this season is all about. And Starkey was telling us before he left that, there was a screaming match, a three-way screaming match between Zangrilli, Zeiss, and himself about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it does beg the question, when you're in a playoff race and you're not just giving a guy an extra day like they've done with some bullpen games, they just completely skipped Jared Jones's last start.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to start him tonight. And if I understood what Starkey said about Zangrilli's position, he was saying that he thinks it's actually possible that the Pirates are looking at this season and thinking it would not be, you know, it's, if we push this thing into September and then into October, in the long run for these guys, it's not good because their innings number is just going to get too high this season. And it could potentially be detrimental for them down the road. So what I think what he means to say is they don't want to be put in a situation where they have to sit down the guy like Strasburg, where they cap him and then, you know, the agent capped Strasburg. It was more
a Boris
than it was the team. But he gets put on ice. Jones, Skeens get put on ice. They don't want that. But at the same time, they don't think if they keep pitching those guys, the big innings jump is going to
be, it's going to end up being a problem in the future.
Right.
Well, I mean, I think we kind of brought this up, you and I, a couple of days ago, maybe early last week, when we talked about it. Could be like, I don't know if self-fulfilling prophecy would even be the right term, but they don't want to be in a jackpot with the innings. And so by giving guys like Jones extra days, like an extra turn through the rotation where he doesn't pitch, you almost create a scenario where you won't have to cross that bridge because you're probably not going to win the game. You're definitely not going to have as good of a chance to win the game with whoever you're replacing him with. And so you probably end up in a situation where you might be far enough out of it where you can shut those guys down at a comfortable number for your
franchise. So when you're rebuilding and you're taking the long-range view, when your team loses and you're the general manager, you don't look at it like a bad thing because incentivized losing in professional sports, you get better draft picks. If you're a team like the Pirates, you're not going to cut corners or take shortcuts. You're going to build, even though they're not doing a great job at this with their hitters at all,
mm-hmm.
you're going to build through the draft. You're going to build through player development. That's what it's all about. The better the picks, the better the players you should be getting.
That's correct.
Right? So you do that. You inherit a bad situation. You do that for a few years. Look at the Orioles now. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
This year, just taking what Dan said, their take might be losing. It's not about the draft pick. Losing just eliminates the quandary or the scenario where we have to make a decision on these guys. So if we don't win, that's not the worst thing in the world because these guys are rookies and we didn't expect to win this year. They really talk, if that's true, then what they said about urgency or wanting to win this year or needing to win this year before the season started was just a bunch of baloney. And I think like more and more it's starting to seem like it was a little bit of lip service because the GM comes out and says hitters, young hitters are struggling in Major League Baseball like never before. No one will 100% say that they won't shut down these guys.
The weird thing is the only person, so like you and I think, said similar things there as far as, like, there's, you know, you want to protect these rookie pitchers. They don't look at it right now like the worst thing in the world if they lose. The one person in the organization, Pony, who I think said urgency to win before the season, and while their offseason spending I don't think suggested urgency, I will say that person has continued with a more urgent tone the rare time we've heard from him, is Nutting.
Yep.
Fix the offense. This sucks. Basically, this sucks. It's not good enough. He's the only guy that's been pretty consistent in that regard, but then I can say to him, or back up about him, if you wanted to be more urgent, say, you can go get Chapman, but go find a way to get Rhys Hoskins here too, or something like that.
If you're skipping Jones and Skeens, their starts.
Yep.
And once every three turns, they get a rest, and instead of Paul Skeens pitching, it's now Marco Gonzalez when he comes off the injured list, or instead of Jared Jones, it's a Luis Ortiz game or something like that.
Yep.
Those guys are not bad pitchers, but they're not anywhere close to what Skeens is or what Jones is when they're on their game.
Correct.
And they're a team that's built to win with pitching. It would be like the Braves in the early 90s saying, we care about Steve Avery and John Smoltz long-term, even though they're our meal ticket. That's the biggest reason why we're good. It's not David Justice or Terry Pendleton. It's our great starting pitching. And instead of, you know, instead of this game where it's supposed to be John Smoltz, we're going to throw Kent Merker here.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
We're getting diminished, like, Kevin Millwood.
So, yeah. So just like them, I actually do think what we saw with Jared Jones in Atlanta is a pretty big deal, because it is a sign that this year is not as important to them as it is to most fans.
Well, they're thinking the long game, several years of being able to contend with a core pitching group in place. And they would say that the rookie year for those big two pitchers that make it a triumvirate, make it a trio, and make it not just one guy, is the most important year to be careful. Would you agree? They would say what they would probably explain it and say, once we get through year one of this, gloves are off, and those guys can go 190 to 200 innings, which is basically what your best starters tend to throw in a regular season. And then you might get 30 or 40 more in the postseason.
Yeah, because you can make that jump. What was Jones's career high?
It was like 125.
So if he goes from 125 to 150 or 160, the next, yeah, you're right. Next year he can be used, pitch every fifth day, make 30 plus starts.
And Skeens, the whole thing, remember, it was not just, it wasn't innings, it was getting used to pro rest. They would say he got used to pro rest. He pitched the same basic number of innings at LSU that Jones had his last pro year. So they'd be on the same track. They'd both be 190 plus guys next year. And I guarantee you, Ben Cherington would also probably feel like he could say, in that situation, we'll also have a better feel for our hitters. We might have more just hitters available to us. We might have better guys. Somebody might break out the second half of this year that we're counting on. We saw how that worked this year with, like, a Key Brian Hayes from last year. But I think that they would be eyeballing next year and the year after that as their two big years, wouldn't you? 25, 26 seasons. Maybe 27 even. They'd probably look at that. If 13,
yeah, because Keller's under contract for all those years.
If 13 to 15 was their big three seasons, I think they look at 25, 26, 27 as their best chance at that. But again, it's tough to hear or to express that thought and hypothesize that way when you know it's such a fickle thing.
When you're so reliant on starting pitching and just about all of your other stats beside what your starting pitchers do suck. And I mean that. That's not me trying to, like, do, I'm going to pick a offensive word to try to rabble-rouse or mix things up. No, quite literally, all of their offensive numbers are putrid. Mm-hmm. They're awful. They don't do one thing well. They don't steal bases. They don't sacrifice. They don't get on base. They don't walk. They don't hit home runs. They don't hit for average. They don't do anything well. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And then other than starting pitching, their bullpen has gotten better. You know, when Bednar got healthy there for that brief period, and they had all three of the guys at the end, the bullpen stabilized. But big picture, 80-plus games, their bullpen has not been good.
Nope.
It is just starting pitching. And if you're looking down the road with starting pitching because you want to be careful with your young aces, then you're not going to hang around in the playoff race.
Which I don't think they would.
If you're
going to
skip these guys and rest these guys,
they wouldn't say it's a tragic thing. They wouldn't. They'd feel like they were set. They had not more. You always hear about people talk about at the trade deadline not giving up prospects. They wouldn't be mortgaging the future in their own minds in a different way.
Okay, so then let me just ask it to you very directly. If you had to make a bet right now on July 3rd, is there a better chance the Pirates are sellers or buyers at the deadline?
Sellers.
Well, you think sellers,
sellers
now?
Yeah. I always thought even if they were buyers, they were going to potentially try. I don't know who else had said it. Both.
That was Andrew Destin yesterday who brought up the buy-sell thing. Where
I think
Zane Curley
had maybe brought it up like weeks prior to. I think they were going
to
try to
trade Mackey
Chapman.
Said at the beginning of the year when we had him on after the Chapman signing, we said if they're three or four games out of a playoff spot in July, do you think they'd still trade Aroldis Chapman? And he said, yes, I do. It's a one-year deal.
I think they would. I think they're more likely to be sellers. And you know what they would say? Because they've said it already, so I'm not like putting words in their mouth. They would say, we think we can be sellers and still compete because the improvements we needed to have came from
You know
from
what
within.
I want then? I want the scene in Major League where they've got the owner in the locker room, and after every win, you take off something and she gets closer to being naked. I want these players to somehow force the GM and everybody else to continue to play them and not skip starts and not rest them out of fear that the fan base is going to revolt and freak out. I want Jones to go shove tonight, and I want them to keep the pressure on and stay in it so that, I mean, you can't shut them down if you have a playoff spot in August, can you?
I guess,
if they were in a wild card spot, could they legitimately shut those guys down or skip their starts?
One. That would be DEFCON 1 if you're suddenly seeing bullpen games or Luis Ortiz or one of these lesser pitchers in the place of those two.
But then again, what am I talking about? They have Edward Olivares hitting cleanup tonight.
Well, that's the bulwark against all this is that their offense is so legendarily bad, even in a legendarily bad year for offense in general. Do they really? They are in. I've said this. You've agreed with me. They are an astonishingly unique team. They have that which would terrify other teams in the playoffs. Great starting pitching. They have nothing else.
No. They have Jack Suwinski, who apparently is still on the team, according to Jeff, because of what he did last night. They've either had somebody fly or drive to Pittsburgh with the idea of, hey, kid, you're back in the big leagues tomorrow night because one guy has been so bad, and then Suwinski changed their plans.
Correct.
With a huge night.
That's correct.
All right. Zangrilli is next with the leadoff show. We will not have a 4th of July show because there's Pirates Cardinals in the afternoon, and it'll air right here on The Fan. So we will talk to you on Friday at 2 o'clock. PM team signing off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.